So we're going to read Ruth chapter 4. It should be after Judge. So it should be before Samuel. This version is a lot easier. The one I practice is a lot harder. I got lots of names. I'm a freaking, you know. So, but I still got a couple, so help me, okay? Okay, all right, let's go on. It's quite a long. Boaz went to the gate of the town and sat down there. Soon the family redeemer Boaz had spoke about came by. Boaz said, "Come over here and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the town's elders and said, "Sit here." And then they sat down. He said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has returned from the territory of Moab, is selling the portion of the field that belongs to our brothers Elimelech. I thought I should inform you. Buy it back in the presence of those seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you want to redeem it, do it. But if you do not want to redeem it, tell me so that I will know, because there isn't anyone other than you to redeem it, and I am the next after you." "I want to redeem it," he answered. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from Naomi, you will acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the deceased man, to perpetuate the man's name on his property." The redeemer replied, "I cannot redeem it myself, or I will ruin my own inheritance. Take my right of the redemptions, because I cannot redeem it." At an early period in Israel, a man removed his sandal and gave it to the other party in order to make any matter legally binding concerning the right of the redemption or the exchange of property. This was the method of the legal binding transaction in Israel. So the Redeemer removed his sandal and said to Boaz, "Buy back the property yourself." Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witness today that I am buying from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech, Chilion, and Maron. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Maon's widow, as my wife, to perpetuate the deceased man's name on his property, so that his name will not disappear among his relatives or from the gate of his hometown. You are witness today." All the people who were at the city's gate, including the elders, said, "We are witness. May the Lord make the woman who is into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built the house of Israel. May you be powerful in Ephrath and your name well known in Bethlehem. May your house become like the house of the Perez, the son Tamar born to the Judah, because of the offspring the Lord will give you by the youth, a young woman." Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He slept with her, and the Lord granted the conceptions to her, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you without a family redeemer today. May his name become well known in Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age indeed. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Naomi took the child, placed him on her lap, and became his nanny. The neighbor's woman said, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and father of David. David's genealogy from Judah's son. Now this is how the family recorded Perez. Perez's father Hezron, Hezron fathers Ram, Ram fathers Amminadab, Amminadab fathers Nashah, Nashah fathers Salmon, and Salmon's fathers Boaz, Boaz fathers Obed, Obed fathers Jesse, and Jesse fathers David. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. Hands up if you were here on Christmas Day. Now, if you'd like to share with me in one of those great slices that Di made, can anyone tell me what the passage was that was preached on? Matthew chapter 1. Good. And you get a whole plate because... And for the rest of you, shame on you. No. Yes, Matthew chapter 1 and the family tree of Jesus. And part of that family tree, you would notice, makes an appearance today in Ruth chapter 4. Now, as we noted on Christmas, the quest to trace our family tree would have to be one of our favourite pastimes. The desire to uncover hidden secrets, to pull out skeletons from the closet, to get back to our roots, we find simply irresistible. And today, as we come to Ruth chapter 4, we're going to do a little digging into someone's family tree and find out not just about them, but about us as the people of God. So let's turn to Ruth chapter 4. Well, you might recall, if you were here last week, that we left the action with things up in the air. Ruth had proposed to Boaz on the threshing room floor, and Boaz had said yes. But there was a problem, for there was a kinsman redeemer who was closer than Boaz, who had the right to marry Ruth. And the chapter ended with Naomi telling Ruth that Boaz wouldn't rest until he settled the matter that very day. And I said, well, they'll sort it out in a day, but you had to wait till today. Well, you've waited a week, so let's see what happens. Well, you know, because you've seen it and you've heard it read. But as we turn to chapter 4, we ask, will Boaz win out? Will he get to marry Ruth? Or will the nearer kinsman redeemer ruin things, at least from our perspective, and Boaz's and Ruth's and Naomi's, of course? So let me read Ruth 4, verse 1. Boaz went to the gate of the town and sat down there. Soon the family redeemer Boaz had spoken about came by. Boaz said, come over here and sit down. Here we have once again God directing traffic behind the scenes. Boaz went up to the town gate, but the kinsman redeemer just happened to come along. Not. Like the other so-called coincidences in the book, God was there making things happen. He is at work in the everyday events of life. Well, Boaz tells this guy, who in the original is just referred to as so-and-so, about the land that belonged to Elimelech. And so let's follow verses 3 and 4. He said to the redeemer, Naomi, who has returned from the territory of Moab, is selling the portion of the field that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should inform you. Buy it back in the presence of those seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you want to redeem it, do it, but if you do not want to redeem it, tell me so that I will know, because there isn't anyone other than you to redeem it, and I am next after you. Well, what will he do? Will Boaz's and our hopes be dashed? Well, we know not, because with that suspense we read his simple reply, I will redeem it. But Boaz wasn't finished with yet, for at this point, he raises the matter of Ruth in verse 5. On the day you buy the field from Naomi, you acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the deceased man, to perpetuate the man's name on his property. Mr. So-and-so responds as Boaz had planned and hoped. He says in verse 6, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." This guy wasn't interested in the girl. He was just interested in the money. If he marries Ruth, he will have to support her and her mother-in-law, and if they have a child, which they are supposed to, it would be another mouth to feed. And so he says, no deal. And there are the words that Boaz and you and I, listening to the story, long to hear. So Boaz then publicly announces his intention not only to buy the field, but to take Ruth as his wife. And then the final resolution comes in verse 13. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He slept with her, and the Lord granted conception to her, and she gave birth to a son. Ruth, who had been barren for 10 long years in Moab, now conceives immediately, and note once again that it is the Lord who enabled her to do so. God is acting sovereignly and kindly behind the scenes. So here in the birth of the son, we have the climax of the Ruth-Boaz story. But the climax of Naomi's story, however, is in verses 16 and 17. So follow those verses with me. Naomi took the child, placed him on a lap, and became his nanny. The neighbor women said, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. Naomi, who had complained in chapter 1 that God had brought her back from Moab empty, and who asked to be called Mara, which means bitter, is now full once again. She now has an heir. Her hopes have been fulfilled in that child. It is no wonder that the women said to Naomi in verses 14 and 15, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a family redeemer today. May his name become well known in Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. Indeed, your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Now, in a society where sons were valued so highly, that comment about Ruth is quite remarkable. The book of Ruth is at one level a love story, but the most remarkable love is not the love of Boaz and Ruth for one another, but the extraordinary love of a foreigner, a young Moabitess, for her aged Israelite mother-in-law. Now, while all the ends are being neatly tied together, there is another climax in the story which lifts our view up and away from Naomi and Ruth and Boaz in the days of the judges to a time that was to come later. For we read in the second part of verse 17, "And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." The very eyes of the child that looked up at Naomi as grandmother would one day look down at a grandson named David. The significance of Ruth and Naomi lies ultimately in their connection with King David. In the times of the judges, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes and there was no king in Israel, God was working through ordinary people and the ordinary circumstances of life to bring about an extraordinary event, the provision of a Messiah king, King David. Now, as we reflect on the book of Ruth, we can see that the story is essentially our story. The book starts very down, but ends very up. We move from death to life, from barrenness to fruitfulness, from emptiness to fullness, from curse to blessing, from bitter to sweet, from living in exile to producing the grandfather of a king. Our personal story too started very down, being an enemy of God, but ends very up with us being children of God. And we too have moved from death to life, from barrenness to fruitfulness, from emptiness to fullness, from curse to blessing, from bitter to sweet. And whilst we haven't produced the grandfather of a king, as far as I know, we have moved from living in exile to being citizens of the king. But as they say in the classics, there is more. For God's love and kindness to us is greater than that of Boaz and Ruth to one another, and is greater than that of Ruth for Naomi. It is a love which sent his son to the cross to die, and not just for the good guys, not just for the respectable ones, not just for those who live in a modern Western city, but for the whole world. So as we see God's plan unfold in the scriptures, from time to time we see someone drawn in from outside, like a Ruth. And eventually what we see is God's purpose to draw to himself a great multitude drawn out of every nation, tribe and language group. Something that's worth reflecting on this Australia Day. The great theme of the book of Ruth is kindness. We see it in Boaz to Ruth. We see it in Ruth to Naomi. We see it in God's loving provision in the birth of Obed. But primarily we see it in the full unfolding of the story as it moves to the birth of David and then into the New Testament in the birth of Jesus. And with that birth we see the salvation not just of the in crowd, but the salvation of all who turn to him that Jesus has called. So we read of Jesus calling the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and countless other outsiders to follow him. And indeed, outsiders, Gentiles like us. And as you will recall, the Gospel of Matthew starts with the family tree of Jesus, with unlikely people mentioned. Like a Ruth. Like a Rahab, and with us discovering that Jesus himself is part Moabite, part outsider. But then his book ends with the great commission to take the message of Jesus out into the whole world. And so it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. With God calling outsiders like Ruth, we begin to see God's great plan of including the Gentiles in his plan of salvation. Our God is a missionary God, whose great purpose is to draw people from every nation, from every tribe, from every language group into his kingdom. Indigenous people, European people, people from Africa, people from South America, people from Asquith. In a few weeks, we will be starting a sermon series on our mission statement, which says that we want to bring glory to God by loving people so they may see Christ, reaching people so they may know Christ, equipping people so they may serve Christ, and sending people so they may proclaim Christ. Why is it that we think that they are the important things to do as a church? And what will motivate us to do such things? It is as we understand who we are as the people of God, those who have countless skeletons in our closets, let alone our forebears, those who fall far short of the glory of God, but know the wonder of God's kindness for us in sending his son to die. It is the love of God for us that motivates us to love others and desires to see the good news of Jesus taken to the very ends of the earth. friends, in knowing that God called a Moabite woman to himself in the days of the judges. Indeed, knowing that he called to himself the likes of you and I in our century. How can we be blind to his purposes of drawing all people to himself? Knowing our background, what difference should it make? It should make all the difference in the world. Knowing that God has chosen us will change our lives. That great theme of kindness that comes out in the book of Ruth is spoken of in the New Testament in Ephesians 2 verse 7, which speaks of the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Having experienced God's kindness to us in Christ Jesus, having experienced the incomparable riches of God's grace, how can we not be committed to his purposes of seeing the world won for Christ? May he bless our endeavours in that special task. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Ruth. We thank you for the reminder of your wonderful kindness. We thank you that you are a God who longs to call all people to himself. We thank you that in your good purposes you raised up a redeemer for Naomi, which led to a redeemer for Israel in King David, which led to a redeemer for the whole world in King Jesus. We thank you that you are a missionary God. May you give each of us a missionary heart. Give us such a loving kindness that longs to see the world won for you. Help us to be willing to pray, to give, and to go out into your world to speak of the wonders of your grace. And bless our efforts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.